So this is a Griha Pravesh ceremony and lecture in the home of Aravind and Gita Bidani in Anand Krishna Van. So we are thinking about this concept of Griha Pravesh. And generally when someone gets a new house and they move into it, it's called Griha Pravesh. Pravesh means entry. But in Sanskrit, if you look up in the dictionary on the computer, you can see it means to enter into, to be absorbed in, to be enveloped. Of course, that's what happens when someone goes into a house. They become absorbed in their house. They become enveloped in their house, contained in their house. And generally, it's called Griha Pravesh. Griha means house, but Griha also means senses. So people, when they go inside a house, and they live inside a house, they have a kitchen and a living room, television room, dining room, bedroom, and they simply enjoy their senses, their griha. They try to get material enjoyment, material satisfaction within those four walls. But actually the four walls of the house, they represent the four walls of existence. And the four walls of existence are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. These are the four walls. These walls are keeping everyone. They're like prison walls. The prison house or the prison room has four walls. One is birth, one is death, and between birth and death you have two more walls. Between these two walls you have two more walls. One is disease, one is old age. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. So this is the griha. It's a prison house. And the living entity, the man, the woman, they are prisoners, and in this house they undergo samsara, the cycle of birth and death. So Griha Pravesh is a ceremony to worship the Digpals, the protector of the directions, to worship the Dwadasa Grahan, the 12 planets, and to worship the Devas, to worship Ganesh, and ultimately to worship Narayan, Bhagavan Vishnu, and to establish some happiness in the house, some peace in the house, some auspicity. They also worship the Vastu Purush. So this is Griha Pravesh. So I was thinking that this concept of Pravesh is very much part of our Vaishnav understanding. This word Pravesh and this idea of Pravesh. So we have different kinds of Praveshes. We have Griha Pravesh. Then we have something called Mandir Pravesh. And then we have something called Leela Pravesh. And then we have a term when a great Vaishnava leaves this world, it's called Nitya Leela Pravishta. We say Ashtotarashata Sri Shimad. Or we say Nitya Leela Pravishta. Nitya Leela Pravishta Ashtotarashata Sri Shimad. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So this is also Pravishta. Same word, Pravesh or Pravishta. It's a different part of it. It means entry. So I was, when we were coming here, we were thinking that is this actually a Griha Pravesh ceremony or is it something else? Because whenever you go to these, what they call housewarmings or Griha Pravesh, you're supposed to bring gifts. At least we always were raised that way in our country. If you go to someone's opening a new house, you usually bring some gift. A toaster, a blender, a mixie, nowadays a microwave or something. So I thought, alright, am I going to a Griha Pravesh or what am I going to? And what is this place and where is this place? What kind of entrance is this? And what kind of walls are these? And what is the purpose and intention of this place? So I thought, well, first of all, it is a place where Vaishnavas will live. It is a place where devotees of the Lord will live. And devotees of the Lord, they live for the pleasure of the Lord. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Anukulya. Anukulya. Anukulya Krishnanu. Anukulya Krishnanu. Anukulya means the benefit, the pleasure, the happiness of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Anukulya. Not me Anukulya. Mr. Smith Anukulya. Or Mr. Swami Anukulya. Krishna Anukulya. Anukulya, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. Anushilanam. Cultivation. Anushilanam. Anushilanam means cultivation, activities, works, endeavors, seva. For the pleasure, Anukulya, favorable, the favorability or the happiness or pleasure of Krishna. So the Vaishnavas live in a place to hear about Krishna, to chant about Krishna, to eat for Krishna, we eat Krishna prasad. Prabhupada said even our sleeping is service. It's not that when one actually has Krishna consciousness or a Bhagavan consciousness, he becomes aware of Bhagavan Priti, love for Bhagavan, then everything he does is a work of devotion. It is an act of devotion. His working, his mating, everything he does, producing children, with enjoying with his wife to produce children, this is also devotion. Krishna says, Kamosmi, Dharma Viruddha. Dharma Viruddha Kamosmi. He says, that Dharma which is not Viruddha, in other words, lust, Kamosmi, Asmi Kama. Krishna is saying in Gita, this is a Gita shloka, he says, I am that lust, Kamosmi, Asmi. He says, I am that lust which is engaged for the service of me to produce Krishna conscious children. Because when men and women come together, it's an expression of lust. They're lusty desires for each other. But it's if it's not Viruddha, Viruddha means against, Viruddha. Dharma Viruddha, if it's not against Dharma. So even this activity that goes on in the house, producing children, if they become devotees, just like our Mr. Manchan, he's sitting here, I believe. So now I have his attention. He's produced three children, and they're three girls. But they're all devotees. They're all devotees of Krishna, so his life is successful. If he was in the path of Karmakanda, path of Karmakanda can only give you happiness in the material world. Karmakanda is a material path, it is not spiritual. Karmakanda can only give you happiness in the material world here or in Swargaloka. Either you have a Manush Janam and have Manush Santosh, or you have Deva Janam. So to get that Santosh or to get that happiness, you have to have a son, Putra. Because the Putra will do Shraddha and Pinda in order to give you happiness in your next life. But that material happiness, which is full of birth and death, Janma Mrityu Javyadi. But he had three daughters, although he wanted a son. His third one, he wanted a son. Or even a second one. First one, he got a daughter. But he got three daughters. But because they become Vaishnavis, he'll get more than Santosh. He'll get Nityananda. Nityananda. Nityananda is a state of eternal happiness, eternal joy, because he'll become liberated. He'll go to the spiritual world. This is beyond karma. This is akarma. And Gita Krishna says there's three types of activities. Vikarma, akarma, and karma. Vikarma is sinful activity which gives you animal birth and hellish existence. And karma is proper dharmic activities following dharma shastra, artha shastra, which gives you human janam, human birth. But akarma is bhakti. Is akarma. There is no reaction in this world. Because the world of karma is the material world, birth and death. But the world of akarma is the world where there's no birth and death because there's no karma. It's seva, Krishna seva. There's no birth and death in the spiritual world. It is nitya, nitya dham. So his life, although he had three daughters, his life is successful. And people say, oh, you had no son. That's only in karma. It's only to live, to exist in a land of birth and death. To live happily or unhappily in a land of birth and death, you need a son. But if you want to live eternally in the land of bliss and joy with God and His parishads, you need a devotee child, daughter or son. So he has three, not one. So he has three chances to hit a home run. You know, if you only get one chance, boom. But he's got one chance. And if Gita doesn't make it, then he has Amshu. And if Amshu doesn't make it, then he has Shika. So one, he's got three chances. So I think at least one of them will make it. And why not all three? So therefore, every activity in a house can be a work of devotion, even producing children. So devotees, even one time the disciples, they asked Prabhupada, well, what about sleeping? Because devotees sleep and they enjoy it. And especially after Sunday feast, we really sleep and we really enjoy it. Because we eat this much halava and this much sweet rice and this many pakoras. So we sleep really deeply. And Prabhupada said, no, because the disciples said, but Prabhupada, how is sleeping devotional service? It's total ignorance. Generally, you're not chanting unless you're a very high devotee. Even devotees chant in their sleep. So-called sleep is actually yoga nidra. At that level of consciousness, there's no sleep. It's yoga nidra. Yoga nidra sometimes is termed as there in Shastra. Brahma has yoga nidra. At the end of Brahma's day, there's annihilation. Partial annihilation. And it says that Brahma goes into, he's sleeping, but he's not sleeping. Because Brahma is in high consciousness. So he enters a state of yoga nidra. Just like Vishnu, he's not sleeping for 4 months. He's in yoga nidra. And it's like this. It says when Brahma is sleeping at the end of the day, and like we sleep at the end of our day, so does Brahma. But when he sleeps, everything's destroyed up to the higher planets. Up to Janaloka and Mahaloka, everything else is destroyed. Swargaloka, everything below, is destroyed, annihilated. So then when he's having yoga nidra, he gets together with his confidential associates, with Narada Muni, the Chatushkamara. They're his sons and his disciples. Narada Muni, Chatushkamara, Saptarishis. He meets confidentially with them and they talk about they have Harikata. Because the office is closed. The office is closed. Brahma's office is closed at the end of the day. During the day, he's busy creating and maintaining everything. He's also a maintainer along with Vishnu. At the end of the day, he sits down and has Harikata. He sits down with the boys. He gets together with the boys, the Saptarishis. And this is called Yoga Nidra. So therefore, a devotee in high consciousness, at the level of bhava, when he's sleeping, he actually enters a state of yoga nidra, which nidra means sleep, but yoga means connected. Connected. Connected with what? Connected with his ishta. So either he chants throughout the night, or he preaches throughout the night. Like our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, when he slept, he would preach. And there's so many examples of his servants, they would hear Prabhupada, they're sleeping outside of his door, and they hear inside, "Damn these rascal scientists! They're cheating the people! Look what they've done. They've ruined the water. They've ruined the air. They've ruined the food. They've ruined people's minds. What have they given us?" And then the disciple wakes up. He looks through the hole in the door. He looks through the keyhole. And Prabhupada's sitting up on his bed. He's sitting on his bed. And he's going like this. And he's preaching to some imaginary somebody. So devotees that are in that Nityananda Shakti, in that kind of bhava, of this parakara upakara, this transcendental welfare work, when they so-called rest, they're preaching. But other devotees that are nam bhajan and smaran, when they rest, they do lila smaran or they do nam. They just you can sit next to them or sleep next to them, and the holy name will be coming out of their mouth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I saw my own eyes. I saw Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj at the age of 102. He's doing nam bhajan. And he's in samadhi for months, and his fingers are moving. He's just lying like this. His fingers going like this. There's no beads. His fingers are going like this, and his mouth is just like this. And nothing. He's not. And they're putting food in his nose by some contraption because he wasn't voluntarily eating or doing anything. So these are different levels. So now I was thinking, this is like a higher level. There's also a pravesh. They're entering into confidential areas, entering and becoming enveloped in and absorbed in, which is the meaning of pravesh, absorbed, enveloped, entrance. So I was thinking, alright, so where Vaishnavas live, their place is not a griha. It is a kuti, it's a kutir. Or it's a place of bhajan kutir. And their life is centered around the Bhagavatam. Because one of the lakshana, or the symptoms of a Vaishnava, they always have certain things in their house. They always have a deity, Thakurji, Murti. Either Chitra Murti, or a photograph, or Sakshat Murti. And they always have a conch shell. And they always have a Garuda bell, a bell with Garuda on. And they always have Srimad Bhagavatam, and they always have Tulsi Devi. These are the goes with the Vaishnava. So I was thinking, oh, this is a Vaishnava's house. So I thought the best gift I can give in this house is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because when we go to a housewarming ceremony, we're supposed to bring a gift. So I bought a Srimad Bhagavatam, but then to observe the ordinary rituals, I also bought a little cup from China, a magnetic cup with a lid on it. It has a magnet inside and it gives magnetized water, which is very good for health, according to the quote-unquote rascal scientists. So I bought this fancy cup, and then that's for the fulfill my material side of giving a material type gift. But of course, they can offer that to Thakurji, give him magnetic water. But he doesn't need any cup with magnetic water, because as soon as Krishna takes one sip of Radhakund, when Krishna goes to Radhakund and does Achman, and he tastes a little bit of Radhakund water, that water is fully magnetized. It's fully magnetized and fully electrified with Radha Shakti. Because Radharani has just bathed in Pavan Sarovar, and Manasa Pavan, and then she's just bathed in Radhakund, so that water is totally electrified. So when Krishna takes one sip of Achman, woo, Radhe, 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 he knows that that water is full of Radharani. And someday when we take Achman, we'll realize that this water is full of Radharani. Shishama kund Radhakunda ki. So therefore, then we bought one incense holder and a pack of incense. This also is part and parcel of a devotee. Incense holder. So then I was thinking, I have to write some inscription in this book. So I was thinking, well, I want to give this set of books on the occasion of their Griha Pravesh ceremony. But then I was thinking, that's what it is. But then I thought, no, this is not a Griha Pravesh. I don't want to write Griha Pravesh here. So what am I going to write? 14th of May, 2007. On the occasion of the Vrindavan Nivas Pravesh. Vrindavan Nivas Pravesh Utsav. Of Gita and Arvind Bidani, we present this full set of Srimad Bhagavatams. May this place, this Nivas, always be filled with the transcendental vibration of Krishna's sweet glories. Madhurima. Madhurima Mahima. Krishna Madhurima Mahima. As told in the chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, may you always read Srimad Bhagavatam, remember and follow the sacred teachings of the Bhagavat with blessings. Yeah. So this is what we have here. We don't have, this is not a Griha Pravesh, this is a Vrindavan Nivas Pravesh Utsav. This will be the Nivas where Gita and her husband and family and relatives, father, etc., they will come here and they will Nivas, because Nivas means, Ni means near and Vas means live, to live near. So they will live near Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Because when you live in Vrindavan and do bhajan, I read one quotation, I have one calendar called Vrindavan, and it has quotations of Prabhupada on each day. Prabhupada and other books on there. It has a picture of Krishna. You ever seen, there's a picture, the Vrindavan calendar. One day, one picture, and one quotation on the bottom. So today's quotation, it said, you should understand that anyone who lives in Vrindavan, and engages in devotional service, you should understand that he's going back home, back to Godhead. So that was quite an appropriate quotation for today. So if you live here in your Vrindavan Nivas, and you engage in devotional service of Krishna, then it's guaranteed in this life you will go back home, back to Godhead, to live eternally with Radha and Krishna in their eternal loving service. Okay? So this is one meaning of Pravesh. And of course, Mandir Pravesh is when we bring the Thakurji. We build a beautiful temple for Thakurji. And of course, sometimes when even I say this phrase, I can't help but part of my mind races to Rajasthan, to 1996, when we sat at the feet, maybe you can say lotus, but out of regard, but we sat at the feet of one Jyotishi, Natulal Bhrigu Shastri, and he was telling something. He said, someday you will build a beautiful temple to Radha and Krishna. And he said, and not only, the special thing about your temple will be the opening ceremony. He said, the opening ceremony. The helicopters will be dropping flowers, and he told so many things about it'll be a very grand opening. So we have something called Mandir Pravesh. It's when Radha and Krishna, we build a very glorious and grand temple for Radha and Krishna. And then the Thakurji comes, and then he's installed there. That's called Mandir Pravesh, that he enters that place. Now, another type of Pravesh, which is mentioned, maybe we can turn one light on, this light. Yeah, that's good. Is that all right? Or I want to see all your beautiful faces. And I'll make sure you don't go to sleep also. Because you just had Chaka Chak, Ekadasi Bhog. Who could imagine on Ekadasi such wonderful Krishna Prasad would be served? It was cooked by Gopal, offered to Giridhari Gopal, and served by Gopal's devotees, and honored by Gopal's devotees. So, as you know, Gopal regularly eats Chaka Chak, Chapan Bhog. So after eating, you know what Gopal does? He finds a nice shady tree on the side of a nice river like Yamuna, and he puts his head on the thigh of a very soft cowherd boy. And his thigh is just like a pillow. But it's a special pillow because it's a Prem Uru. Uru means thigh. It's a Prem Uru. So the thigh of a cowherd boy is full of Sakya Prem. You can get a pillow, but it won't love you. Of course, you may love your pillow. You may love your pillow. Takia Prem. You may love your pillow, but your pillow won't love you. But when Krishna puts his head on the thigh of a coward boy, that thigh, that pillow, which becomes a pillow, that thigh loves Krishna and emanates loving vibrations. In this world, we can buy a pillow which is stuffed with herbs and flowers. They have these things called sachet or whatever it is. And then you can get these fragrant pillows and have sweet dreams. And they have nice fragrance inside the pillow that you can buy in the West, or maybe in India also. But you can't buy a pillow which will love you. So Krishna, after he has Chaka Chak Bhog, he will put his head on the thigh of a coward boy and he'll dream. So I turn on the light, so no one will do this. So I keep an eye on everyone. So now, the most interesting type of pravesh, because once one enters into his Vrindavan Nivas pravesh, utsav, then he or she starts to live there and engage in bhakti bhajan. Then hopefully, at some point or other, he'll rise in devotion. He'll rise through the different stages of devotion, from Shraddha to Bhajan, and then become very steady and firm, Nishtha, very confident, free from doubts, very clear in his understanding about Bhagavan Tattva, who is God, who am I, what is Bhajan, what is the goal of life, what is the spiritual world. He'd become very knowledgeable, become very convinced, and very solid, very solidly established. Sometimes people say, oh, he's very solidly established in business. He has good investments, he's making good profit, he's very solidly established. And people consider, oh, you're a good man if you're solidly established. And that's something that we should strive for. As married people, we should be solidly established to maintain our families. But what's really important is to be solidly established in devotion to God. And that's called Krishna Bhakti, or Krishna Nishtha, Nishtita Bhakti. And after that, there becomes Ruchi. Of course, Ruchi comes even sooner, but there's a whole level called Ruchi, which is a very deep taste of satisfaction. One finds greater satisfaction, and one finds greater happiness in doing bhakti than doing bhog, which is inconceivable, because we grow up and all we know is bhog. We know bhog inside our mother's womb, and we know bhog outside of our mother's womb. All we know is enjoyment, sense enjoyment, body enjoyment. But there's something called soul enjoyment, soul pleasure, spiritual pleasure. And this can come when one engages in bhakti bhajan. And this is called a whole stage. It's a level of devotional advancement, where one comes to a plane, a level, a stage, where he derives naturally more happiness and satisfaction from serving God and engaging in bhakti than in bhog. Now it's inconceivable. We think that eating and sex life and movies and travel and nice clothes, this is everything. And that's all we know. That's our only point of reference. And if we can be healthy and happy and enjoy these things, then we're happy. And we can't conceive, well, there's something more, there's something deeper, there's something more profound, there's something more satisfying, something more lasting, something that outlasts this body, something that outlasts old age, and something that transcends even disease, a happiness that exists even when you have disease, a happiness that exists even when you're old, and have no power of senses, no power of body. Now what do you do when you're old? All the things that you were grabbing in your youth, and driving pleasure from, you can't grab when you're old. And you can't get that pleasure anymore because the body is worn out. So now where do you get pleasure? You become frustrated. You lament. You lament and hanker and become frustrated. This is some of the byproducts of old age. But the older a tree gets, the more mellow it gets. The more the sweeter the fruits get as the tree gets older. When a tree first starts producing fruits, if you know about gardening and things, the fruits aren't so mellow, so sweet. As a tree gets older, the fruits get sweeter. So as a devotee gets deeper in devotion and makes more advancement, his taste gets sweeter, and that's called ruchi. Then after ruchi comes asakti. Asakti. Asakti means attachment. It becomes very firmly attached to Krishna and nothing else. And then comes bhava and prema. So now, when a devotee rises to the level of bhava, then there's something which Bhaktivinoda calls in the end of his discussion on Jiva Dharma. The Jiva Dharma means the Dharma of the Jiva, the religious duties of the Atma, the religious practice of the Jiva. It has different stages and different levels of maturation and development. There's a hierarchy from beginning to end. So as we go up the scale of devotional attainment, we come to a level of bhava. And bhava is like the dawning of prema, Krishna prema. At that level, he discusses in the next to last chapter of his book, Jiva Dharma, it's called Lila Pravesh Vichar. So now again, we're hearing this word Pravesh. We heard about Griha Pravesh, Mandir Pravesh. Now we're hearing about Lila Pravesh Vichar, the consideration or the understanding of Lila, entering Lila. Who's Lila? Not our Lila. We don't have Lila, we have karma. We engage in karma, or you say karma. We don't have Lila. Bhagavan has Lila. Only Bhagavan. Ram Lila. We say Ram Lila grounds. This is Ram Lila grounds, or this is Ram Lila, Krishna Lila. The avatar Lila. Sometimes people use this word in common vernacular. What is it? And Prabhupada would make this joke sometimes on a tape. He said, yes, and where I come from in India, he was telling this in New York in the early days, he said, where I come from in India, if he has one wife and he has a few girlfriends, then his friends will joke with him and said, oh, you're like Krishna? You're running with other girls? You're like Krishna? You're having your Leela? You're having your Leela? This is your Leela? And of course, it's immoral and it's unjust, but it goes on. So Prabhupada, because Prabhupada, when he went to New York, he saw all these hippies having their Leela with this girl and that girl and this wife and that wife and every wife. And so he wasn't very much impressed. But it reminded him of some. So this word Leela is only reserved for Bhagavan. It is transcendental. Because there's always two words that go together. Leela means Divya. Divya Leela. Divya means transcendental, spiritual, not lokik. This is lokik. Of this lok is called lokik. This material world, of birth and death. This is alokik, aprakrit, transcendental. So, when one's consciousness comes to this level of purity, at the level of bhav, then, at least this is how our Mahajan Acharyas present the idea, one has attained sufficient level of purity to be blessed, to receive a divine dispensation, a divine blessing from transcendence. Because transcendence, the finite has no power to understand the infinite. The finite has no power to see the infinite. The infinite, if you want to say it like my guru would say it. But the infinite has the power within himself to reveal himself to the finite. And to put it in local terms, I have no power to see the Prime Minister. But the Prime Minister, somehow or other, someone gives him a book, The Art of Chanting Hare Krishna by Mahanidhi Swami. And he reads it. And he said, this is a very interesting book. I want to meet the author. Where is he? So then, all of a sudden, the CID is coming to investigate my house. And then to find out if there's any terrorists living there, any bombs being hidden there. And then a week later, a helicopter lands in a field outside my house. And out comes the Prime Minister to meet me. Because a very similar thing happened on a slightly lower level a few weeks ago. The IG of Punjab, right? The IG is called Inspector General. That's a big post, right? He came to visit me. So first some advance party came and said, he's in the area. And you're so-and-so. I said, yeah, and this is 8 o'clock at night. These police people are very secret type. So these guys that came to see me, they're coming, all these guys with machine guns in Radhakund. 8 o'clock at night, it's dark. And I'm the chokidars on the dinner break. And I go to the gate myself, and I look out, and there's guys with machine guns. They say, are you Mahanidhi Swami? I said, no, I don't know who that is. I think you have the wrong house. They said, no, our boss is coming, and we have to, you know. I said, okay. And then they explained something of the situation. So then they came down. Can you imagine, in this little gully, if you've ever been to my house, I live in this little gully, in the middle of a little town in Brudge, a little village in Brudge. First this Jeep comes down with six guys with machine guns. And then comes a big Tata Safari with a red light on it, and another Jeep behind it with another bunch of machine guns. And then this big Siddharthi comes out, you know, to say hello. and the whole town was talking about it for like a week, right? Like, and everywhere I walked, everybody like stepped back. You know? Whenever I walked down the street, everybody gave me, you know, oh, here comes the Swamiji. Because they were asking my chokidar, who's that? And they found out it's the IG of Punjab or something. And they asked my chokidar, who is it? And then he wants to get a little bit of pride too. So he said, oh, it's Maharaj's disciple. It's Maharaj's chela. That's Maharaj's chela, and I'm Maharaj's chokidar. Because if the Maharaj is big, then he automatically becomes big by association, right? So now I'm really like I'm flying high in Radhakund. I'm like, you know, the guru of the IG, you know. So the point I'm making is, aside from the anecdote, is that we are small and we don't have the power to see something big. So God is very big. We have no power to see Him. But if He grants His darshan, Sakshat Darshan, if He gives us His darshan, like He gave to Dhruva Maharaj, or like He gave to Prahlad Maharaj, or like He gave to Narad Muni, He had one darshan. Then He revealed Himself to the little boy, to a little boy, 5-year-old Narad Muni. It's in first canto of the story. And then 5-year-old Dhruva Maharaj in fourth canto. Then, I don't know, 6-year-old or 7-year-old Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. So they all had darshan of Bhagavan, Sakshat Darshan. They had the Divya Drishti, they had the Divya, the transcendental eyes to see Him. So therefore the infinite can reveal Himself to the finite. So this is what happens at the level of Bhav. As we rise through the level of by Bhakti Bhajan, we can approach the threshold of Bhav. And that level, then the infinite comes into us. And that's called Pravesh. Pravesh means entrance, absorption. envelopment. The word pravesh means to be enveloped in something, to be absorbed in something. The infinite, and the infinite himself or herself, the divine lady or the divine lord, Radha and Krishna, the female divinity or the male divinity, or their parikars, who are also infinite, they enter into the heart of the devotee at that level of bhav. And that's called Sarup Shakti. Sarup Shakti comes and mixes in the heart at the level of Bhava Bhakti. And this is Ladini and Samvit. And when that energy, that Sarup Shakti, enters the heart, then one attains the quality, he realizes something of his spiritual identity. He gets revelation of his Sarup. He actually sees his Sarup at that level. And then, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura is explaining with his two archetypal characters, Vijay Kumar and Bhajranab, they had come to this level of bhav. They were experiencing ecstatic symptoms when they chanted the holy name. So then they were approached their guru and said, we want to enter the Leela. We have a keen interest in entering the Leela of Radha and Krishna and serving them there. How do we do it? How do we become qualified? Leela Pravesh Vichar. This is the subject matter of the chapter, Jiva Dharma, chapter 39. So this is another level of pravesh. We're talking about Griya Pravesh. So I want to just take this to different levels. So because it's making it interesting, no? otherwise we can just say Bhagavan Vishnu Mangalayas Tanohari Akalamrityu Haranam Sarvavyadi Vinashanam, and then go and pack up and go. And that's also very good. But at this level, then when we receive this contact of Sarup Shakti, then it becomes very, very clear. And even if we previously received some idea of our spiritual identity, now it becomes crystal clear. Before it was a meditation and it was theoretical, now it becomes real. We actually see our Sarup. And then the Guru says, now here's how you enter Leela, here's how you enter the Leela, here's how you enter Leela Pravesh. First, you absorb yourself in your spiritual identity, which has been revealed to you by the sanction, the blessings of the infinite, by the mercy of Rupa Manjari, or Rati Manjari, or Radharani, or Krishna, or Lalita, or Vishaka, or any member of your Guru Varg, any member of your Guru Parampara, and their Guru Sakhi Rup. They have blessed you with a Sarup Shakti, being pleased with your bhajan, being pleased with your surrender, being pleased with your seva, your Vaishnav seva, your jiva doya, and your nam ruchi. You have graduated and you've received this divine sanction, this divine blessing. Now, because to enter somewhere you need a body. If you don't have a body, you can't enter a griha. Of course, you have to have a subtle body. Because ghosts, bhuts and prates also enter grihas, but they come in subtle body. Actually, it's a good point, I may mention, that when you're not living here, you should leave a light on. Because, is it every room or just one room? Leave this door open, because these are adjoining. This door should always be open, and one light should be on. All the time, when you're not here. It's very important. These are niyams. Because otherwise, because light is the opposite of darkness. Darkness, there are certain beings that come, bhuts, prates, etc. And they're looking for a nice place to stay because the bhuts and this, these are ISKCON bhuts. And ISKCON bhuts, they like high class places. They don't like some tree in the jungle. They want to live in a first class AC flat in a non Krishnamon. So you should keep one light on. And get some energy light or something before you go and just stick it somewhere so it's good, long last, because these maybe pop out or I don't know. And, 10 watts, 11 watts, leave it on all the time. You don't come for 1 month or 2 weeks, the light is on. You follow? It's very important, very, very important, because what's happened now is everything is auspicious. The Brahmin, a very Pakka Brijvasi Brahmin, has come here and done all proper rituals of creating shanti and auspiciousness and the smoke, everything has become purified. The smoke has gone in every room and everywhere has purified the whole place. Now the place is pure. But Tulsi is only visiting here. She'll go back to her place and our devotees will take care of her. So now there's nothing auspicious here. That's why I bought the Bhagavatams. The Bhagavatams are going to stay here. That's auspicious. Because Bhagavatams are there and Narayan's there. So that's one good thing, because I was thinking, but if you leave a light on, it's very, very important. But it's, otherwise, you pay 20 lakhs for a boot flat. And then you try to do bhajan, and then you have to hire another Brahmin to come in and chase him out. Another 5,000 rupees. So what you have to calculate, it's cheaper to keep a light bulb on. Right? It's only 200 rupees a month. Otherwise, when you come back in here, and she says, "Oh, Arvind, there's ghosts here. I can't sleep." So pravesh, this is the pravesh that we want to, this is the ultimate pravesh. This is the last pravesh. We enter so many griha pravesh, and this body is also a pravesh. It's also a griha. We're also enjoying this body. And there's also walls of this body, front wall, back wall, back door, front door. We have so many doors. We have 9 doors in this house. Navadwaram. This shariram, navadwaram. Ye shariram, dukam mandiram. Right? You see, this body is a temple of suffering. Duk mandir. So the soul has come into this body, this griha, this sharir pravesh, and then this body has come into a house, griha pravesh. But in the human form, we should get mukti prapti, which means praying prapti. So therefore, this is a very auspicious day, because this is apara ikadasi. Apara means, the word apara means incomparable, transcendental, alokik. So this is a very auspicious day to enter into a Vrindavan Nivas Pravesh. This is Vrindavan Nivas, a place where I will reside in Vrindavan and do bhakti bhajan. No bhog will go here. This is not a place for making children. This is a place for leaving this world. This is a place to do bhajan. You come and kids watch TV and you eat and sleep. But really, this is a place for bhajan. This is a bhajan place. And we want this to be our last pravesh. We don't want to have another pravesh. We don't want to enter another griha. And we don't want to enter another sharir, deha, body. And only in human form of life will we do braj bhajan. As I mentioned earlier, Prabhupada said, if someone lives in Vrindavan and engages in devotional service, you should understand, if someone comes and lives in Vrindavan and engages in devotional service, that means he's going back home, back to Godhead. That was the quote on today's date, on a calendar I have. Every day Prabhupada gives some quote. So this is a place you want to come and stay here and engage in bhajan, hearing and chanting by Krishna. And then qualify ourselves, go through sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, begin raganuga bhakti, enter bhava bhakti, then under guidance of guru, then we can lila pravesh vichar, then we can enter the lila, just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing. And this is the perfection of human life. To enter the eternal lila of Radha and Krishna in Nitya Vrindavan, Braja Gokul, and engage in their eternal service. So when Braja Kumar and Vijay Kumar and Brajanav, the Guru said, now you are at the level of bhava. So you will receive the Ekadash Bhava. I will give you, explain the 11 symptoms of your spiritual body. As we have this material body, we have a spiritual body. There's a particular complexion and vesh and seva. That's like in the material body, you have a seva. You're a businessman, you're a householder, this, that, whatever. So in the spiritual body, you also have a seva. You have business. You also have business. You're seva to Krishna. Chamar seva, tambul seva, cooking. So many different sevas can be there. You're just his friend. Your service is to play with Krishna. Whatever he does, you're a coward boy. You're a sucker. You have stai bhava and sakhi ras. And your service is to be Krishna's pal, his friend. So your service is to carry him on your back. Your service is to have him carry you on his back, to wrestle, to steal food, whatever it is. You play with him. That's your service. So first you get the swarup, you get the spiritual body. And then the Guru is explaining that one should meditate on Gaur Lila. First you enter into meditation. Yes, this is my spiritual body. I have this particular form, this particular bhav. My guru Sakhi, my guru has his Sakhi Sarup like this, and he's in a particular group, and we're under the guidance of a Yuteshwari, a group leader, Lita Sakhi or Nanga Mandri or Vishaka Sakhi. and this is my service, and we all serve together in this Guru Sakhi Parampara, in this Guru Varg. So first this is meditation. And then next thing, we should meditate on the Leela of Lord Gauranga. Lord Chaitanya's Leela. This is what's being told in Jiva Dharma. This is how one enters Leela Pravesh. First he identifies and meditates on his Rup Dhyan. He meditates on his spiritual Sarup, Siddhadeya meditation. First he enters that. Right? His Sarup Pravesh. Sarup Pravesh. He enters into his Sarup. Then he enters Gaur Leela Pravesh by his Smaran. By his meditation, he enters into Gaur Leela. Why does he enter Gaur Leela? Because when he enters into Gaur Leela, he will receive Braja Bhav. All the different bhavas, all the different bhavas that are being experienced, the Vyavachari bhavs, the Sattvic bhavs, and the Anubhav, all the different bhavas that are experienced, which come together, combine together to make the taste of Bhakti Ras, Madhura Ras, Sakhi Ras, they are all being experienced and relished in Gaur Leela, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So when you enter Gaur Leela, and you meditate on Gaur Leela, what is Gauranga doing? What are Gauranga and his associates doing? They're engaged in Sankirtan. It's called Leela Kirtan. They're engaged in Leela Kirtan, and they're simply glorifying Radha and Krishna's Leela, because Gaur is Radha and Krishna. So Gaur is Radha and Krishna coming together in one form. Radha and Krishna come together in Gauranga, and then they engage in he engages in meditating on Radha and Krishna's Leela. The two become one, and the one thinks of the two. And when the two think of both, they become one. When Radha thinks of Krishna and Krishna thinks of Radha, and their thoughts become one, their bodies become one, they become Gauranga. And then when Gauranga starts to think again of Radha and Krishna Leela Smaran, then that's Gaur Leela. So then he's in those bhavs, and he's absorbed in those bhavs, and he distributes them. Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. What does it mean, Krishna Prema Pradaya? Pradaya means he distributes, he gives Krishna Prema. But there's no question of Prema Ras without the elements of Ras. The elements of Ras are these five bhavas. Stai Bhav, Vi Bhav, Anabhav, Vyavachari Bhav, Sattvic Bhav. These have to combine together, which you also have in drama. These things are also in drama. And in Natya Shastra. So these combine together. So he's distributing this. And this is how we enter the Leela, by meditating on Gaur Leela, receiving the accessibility of this Braja Bhav through this coating of Audarya. The magnanimity of Gauranga enables that those bhavas to come into our heart. So then the third stage is of preparing to enter Leela is then we meditate on the Astakalya Leela of Radha and Krishna, the eightfold pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then that's how we enter the Radha Krishna Leela Pravesh. Because the word Leela, what does the word Leela mean? Li has two forms, is a sandhi, it's a combination of two words. It's a combination of lingata. Lingata means to embrace. Embrace, lingata. And Li means like lay or lo, means to take or accept. Like you say, lay lo, take this, accept this. Right? We say lay, lay, lo, lo, lay lo. So Leela means to accept. To accept the embrace of Krishna. Leela. So Leela Pravesh is entering into the pastimes of Krishna by accepting his embrace and offering him yours. But what does it mean to lovingly embrace someone? It means to express the epitome of your desire to please them and serve them. This is prema. So this is how we enter the Leela of Krishna. So I don't want to speak any longer. But this is something, these are different ideas about Pravesh. Pravesh has its lokic meaning and a lokic meaning. It has a material meaning and has a spiritual meaning. But for us, all our Pravesh is spiritual, because even if we enter a new house, it's for the service of Krishna. The first thing we do is we make a temple room. Bhagavan's temple room, like Aravind, he made a new house. So he has a temple. You made a new house. You have a temple. Is that right? And everybody goes there maybe once a week or something, says hello, and you know, like I know some friends in Delhi, they have a temple, and the temple's in the basement, and there's four floors above it. There's different conceptions. I know one people in Delhi, they have a four-story house. They own all four floors. Temple's in the basement. And I know in another house, they have four floors, the temple's on the top floor. So to me, I would rather have Thakurji on the top floor, because Thakurji's tops. But somehow maybe, but they're also acceptable. Maybe they think that Thakurji, it should be rahasya. It should be gambir, deep, secret, like a gufa. So the basement is, you go in the basement, and it's cooler down there. Maybe they think it's cooler for Thakurji. It's quiet. Kids are yelling and screaming upstairs. Different conceptions. Both are correct. So, but this is the point, that because these are Vaishnavas, and the first thing they do is establish a temple of the Lord. But they may be mixed things, might be mixed activities ordinarily. Now the final point, now this is also one point about Pravishta. So Pravishta, that's the final Pravesh. So when it departed Acharya or Guru, when he, a Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava especially, when they leave this world, they get this title, as I mentioned. Nitya Lila Pravesh, or Pravishta. Nitya Lila Pravishta, Ashtotara Sata Shishimad, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj Ki.
Yeah.
Nitya Lila Pravishta, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa. No, we say, Nitya Lila Pravishta, Ashtotara Sata Shishimad, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj Ki. Nitya Lila Pravishta, Ashtotara Sata Shishimad, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki. Nitya Lila Pravishta, Ashtotara Sata Shishimad, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So these are great devotees of the Lord. Nitya Lila Pravishta, Ashtotara Sata Shishimad, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki. These are great devotees of the Lord. Some of the devotees I've mentioned are very, very, very dear and beloved God brothers of my Guru Maharaj. And one is his Guru Maharaj, my Param Guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And of course there's our beloved Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. And they're all to be remembered and all to be honored. And they all have the same appellation, same title, Nitya Lila Pravishta. So we might think, oh, they're Nitya Lila Pravishta, but what am I? All I am is Griha Pravesh. The only Pravishta I have is my Griha. The only thing I'm sure of is I've entered my house. So now I've also become a Grihasta. This is my accomplishment after 32 years of Krishna Bhakti, 10 years Brahmachari, and 10 years Brahmachari, 23 years sannyas, now I became Grihastha. Right, this is typical ISKCON program, right? the ashrams are like this, first Brahmachari, then sannyas, then Grihastha. Then Vantasi, whatever. At any rate, so this I've also Griha Pravesh. I've also entered the Griha, but we're trying to make it some type of ashram, shelter for our bhajan and shelter for others to hear about Krishna and to serve Radha and Krishna at the divine in the divine sanctity of Ananga Manjari's Kunj on the banks of Shamakund, because that's where it's located in transcendental geography. Of course, there's no geography there, or topography. It's the Sananda Saka, he gave his kunj on the banks of Shamakund to the purview and control of Ananga Manjari. And Ananga Manjari's kunj comes right to where we are and a little bit further. Because there's one Babaji living behind me, and I inquired from him. I said, it appears from what I can see of the description of the kunjas, or kunjas around Shamakund and Radhakund, that this is Ananga Manjari's kunj. And I want to confirm from you. He's about 90 years old. He leaned over and looked at me and said, Baba, you should understand, you're in Ananga Manjari's kunj. And so am I. I didn't have any doubt that he was in it. One way or another, I knew he was in it, internally or externally. But then he also confirmed that, at least externally, we're both in it. Internally, that's another thing. But so now this is the title, that these great acharyas, these great mahajans, these great gurus, Prabhupada, Bhakti Pragyan Keshmaraj, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, They're all Nitya Lila Pravishta. They've entered the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And they're serving there, and they're sarup, and they're Sakhi sarups, and they're Mandri sarups. But what about, what hope is there for me? So Prabhupada gives a very nice quotation about this, how you and I and all of us can also become Nitya Lila Pravishta. So I want to close Madharam Samapaya. I want to close on this point. Just to repeat, in case I wasn't able to say it clearly, I'll repeat from my notes. What does it mean? What does it mean if someone is Nitya Lila Pravishta? Nitya Lila Pravishta means one who enters the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is called Nitya Lila Pravishta. When the spiritual master leaves this material world, the Lord's eternal associates give him the title Nitya Lila Pravishta. It's interesting. It says the Lord's eternal associates give him the title, which means he has gone to join Krishna and his associates in the eternal spiritual abode. So this is actually the meaning of Nitya Lila Pravishta. Now in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 29, verse 77, there's a purport. And Prabhupada explains in his own words, this great Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest boon or blessing to human society because it is teaching everyone to think always of Krishna. In this way, at the end of life, one may be transferred to the association of Krishna. This is technically called Nitya Lila Pravishta, entering into the planet Goloka Vrindavan. So Prabhupada, in essence, what he's saying here in his own words, that this Krishna consciousness movement, which, what does that mean? Does this mean four walls of a temple in Noida or Punjabi Bagh or east of Kailash? It doesn't mean that. Krishna consciousness movement means wherever you have a human being who's moving in the direction of Krishna. Wherever you have a human being who's moving in the direction of Krishna, that's called the Krishna consciousness movement. So how do you move in the direction of Krishna? By hearing about Krishna, by chanting about Krishna, by remembering Krishna, by serving devotees, by associating with devotees, by worshipping Krishna, by praying to Krishna, by cooking for Krishna, by eating for Krishna, by sleeping for Krishna, everything for Krishna. Where sleeping is also Krishna consciousness. That's why I said, even when we sleep, it's for Krishna. If we need 6 hours, if we sleep 6 hours and are perfectly healthy and it gives us strength to serve, we sleep six. We may like to sleep 10. Oh, let me sleep 9 more or 3 more. But this is Maya. Because you sleep too much, it's not good for you. If you sleep too little, it's not good for you. So devotees, they accept what is good for Krishna. What do I need to please Krishna and charge up my batteries and renew my energy? To serve Krishna. If I need 5, I take 5. Our Guru Maharaj needed 3. At least he appeared to take 3. But of course, I said it was Yoga Nidra for him. His sleep was Yoga Nidra. It was Yoga Nidra. Ours is only cable Nidra. Cable Nidra. No yoga there. Only Nidra. Nidra means... right? Dead as a doornail. Sleeping deeply. So now Prabhupada is giving us great hope and great inspiration here by saying everyone who's in the Krishna consciousness movement, this is a great boon to human society, is teaching everyone how to always think of Krishna. And anyone who does this, he may be transferred to its association of Krishna. And this is technically called Nitya Lila Pravishta. So now we've entered into our Vrindavan Nivas to engage in Krishna Bhajan. And we'll make sufficient advancement by the blessings of the holy name, Vaishnavas and Guru, and Mahant Kripa, and blessings of the Parampara. Then we too may also become Nitya Lila Pravishta. And that will be our final abode as they write on the tombstone. He has entered his final abode. They sometimes write on these stones marking someone's grave. He has, or they see, you see an obituary in a newspaper. Mr. Gupta has gone to his eternal abode. in loving memory of Sunil Gupta, my husband for 97 years, who died yesterday and has gone to his eternal abode, which is in Patal Loka. Rasatala, Talatala, Patala. He has his choice. He has seven choices. Talatala, Patala, Atala. There's seven hellish planets. Wherever he went, he went. So this is a very, very nice discussion. How Prabhupada is giving us all encouragement that we can all enter the eternal pastimes of Krishna. It's not very difficult. It just depends on two things. All you need is two things to enter Krishna's eternal pastimes. What are those two things? One is the mentality and one is activity. Sharanagati and the holy name. All you only need two things to enter Krishna's eternal lila. Sharanagati and the holy name. And that includes, that covers everything. Sharanapati. Sharanapati or Sharanagati means surrender. And there are six forms of surrender. And surrender is every moment, every hour, every day. And it never stops. And it's always there. And then the other point is the holy name. Sharanagati and the holy name. Always surrender to the holy name. And then perfection is there. Because the holy name itself will reveal the lila. The holy name itself will reveal our form, our sarup. And the holy name itself will take us into the lila. That will be our access. That will be our lila. That's our ticket to the lila. Our ticket to the lila is three words. Like sometimes they have a password. During the 1920s, they had prohibition and had these speakeasies. Speakeasies were underground bars and liquor shops where people would have to speak very softly while they were drinking and partying. And then there would be a password. You knock on the door and they say, "Who is it?" And they say, "White Rabbit." You say, "White Rabbit." And then they say, "Okay." That would be the password. And then they would let you in and you would go down the cellar and everyone would be drinking booze. 1920s in America was illegal to drink. So you have to speak a word to get the access. So the pravesh, you have to speak three words to get the pravesh to Nitya Lila. Hare
Krishna,
Krishna and Radharaman. Ram. Radharaman. So these three words, these are the tickets. There's three stubs on the ticket. They rip off one and they rip off another. First ride and the second ride. Three rides. So shelter of the holy name. Take shelter of the holy name. Then you got everything. Sharanagati and the holy name. So I want to just read a few verses from the Bhagavatam, because this will, we brought the Bhagavatam, but we should hear a few verses. So I'll read for 10 minutes and then I'll conclude. Because we should hear the Bhagavatam, we brought the Bhagavatam here. And also on Ekadasi, it's enjoined in the Bhagavat Mahatmyam, on Ekadasi and Dwadasi, we should always hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is from Yuga Gita. Yuga Gita is the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 35. And this is called Yugo because Yugo, in this instance, Yugo means pair. It means two. Because in this chapter, there are 18 verses. There's a set of 9 verses where gopis get together. Gopis, in the nighttime, the gopis are with Krishna, dancing in Ras, enjoying Banbihar or Jalkeli or so many nice pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan. And it's explained, Vishwanatha explains that the gopi's prema, in order to nourish itself, it divided itself into two parts. So the gopi prema, the gopi's pure love for Krishna, in order to nourish it, nourish it means to enhance it, to increase their love, their mood of love, their feelings of love, their ecstasies of love, their sevas in love, to increase that love and to nourish it, that prema itself divided itself. Just like in chemistry or in biology, when you study these mitochondria, these little cells, there's one cell and all of a sudden he divides and he becomes two. So the prema, if you have one prema, then it divides and becomes two, and you have two premas. So to nourish the prema, the gopi's prema divided itself into two. One is called cool prem and the other is called hot prem. If you know what I mean. And I don't think you know what I mean. But you may have some imagination. So it divided itself into, to nourish itself, it divided itself into two parts. The first part is the coolness. This is cool prem. Sheetal prem. Like you've heard of sheetal pain bomb? Actually, they're saying sheetal prem bomb, but you don't hear it right. Sheetal prem bomb, sheetal prem bomb. It's a bomb. It's a bomb. If you rub yourself, that's cool prem. And the gopis, and Vishwanath is explaining here how the gopis are rubbing themselves with cool prem. Sheetal prem balm. And there's garam prem. Ati garam. So sheetal prem balm is, prem divides itself into hot prem and cool prem. So the coolness of direct enjoyment with Krishna in the moonlight at night, this is one half of the prem, the coolness. When the gopis are with Krishna under the Sharad Purnima, the full moon night, on the banks of the Yamuna, and the waves are washing the beautiful fragrance of Kalatpara and Kumud and all these night-blooming lotuses in the air, and they're feeling so happy to be with him. They're feeling very relaxed and very comforted, just like in the full moon rays. It feels so soothing and so comforting. It feels like your mind is being bathed in nectar. If you ever sleep outside in the rooftop and the full moon is coursing through the sky, because I've been out on the roof for the last month and a half, so all the moon rays are coming, and it's so wonderful. And then in Gordon, the peacocks are crowing at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and moon rays. It's very wonderful. Udipan. So the coolness, this Sheetal Prem, the coolness of direct enjoyment with Krishna under the shining moonlight of Sharad season. That's one division of Prem. And the other division of Prem is Ati Garam Prem. Grishma Prem. Hot Prem. And what is this Prem? This is the daytime. The heat of separation from Krishna was experienced during the scorching sunshine. So when the sun rises and rises in the sky and starts burning, and the noontime heat's burning your brain and cooking your brain and sizzling your body, the gopis are feeling that hot prem, that painful prem and separation from Krishna during the hot, scorching rays of the hot sunshine days. So in the day they're feeling... So prem is like this. So what did the gopis do during this time? They spent their nights, but in the daytime, they can only associate with Krishna by thinking about him and talking about him. So when Krishna went out to the forest for Gocharan Leela during the day, all the gopis would gather together in small groups, which is very common. Women nowadays, they gather together in small groups in MBT. In the flower, making flowers in the temple, stringing flowers, and in the market, Loy Bazaar, in this shop and that shop, in front of Bihari Lal's, women gather in small groups and they talk. And if they're young women, they talk about young men. And if they're old women, they talk about old men. Or their old man. If they're old women, they talk about their old man, which means husband in English, American slang. My old man, my old lady. This is American slang. She knows. At least someone knows my language. Few people. My old man. My old man doesn't mean your father. It means your... my old man's giving me a hard time. It means your husband. Which is usual thing. Usual talk. Universal talks. But when the gopis get together, they talk about Krishna. Obviously. And these verses from Yuga Gita, small groups of gopis are getting together. One gopi is saying, oh, Krishna's like this, and his flute is like that. Another gopi is saying, oh, yes, I know it's like that. I know it's like, but it's like this and like that. And she's, oh, I know. And they're just relishing each other's sweetnesses and reminiscences of Krishna. It's called Rasodgar. Rasodgar. Rasodgar means ruminating. Like cows ruminate. Ruminate means they have four-chambered stomachs. It's ruminate. It's called ruminating. They chew and they chew and chew and they swallow. They swallow the food and it goes into one stomach and flips all around upside down this way and that way. And then it comes up again. And they chew it again. It's called ruminating. When they just chew over and chew over, ruminating. So when you ruminate the lila, when you chew over the lila, when you again hear the lila, some gopi tells the lila again, you spent the whole night with Krishna dancing in the rasa dance. Then the next morning at 10 o'clock, a gopi comes in and Radharani says, "Oh, I miss Krishna. I haven't seen him for so long." And the gopi said, "But you were dancing with him last night, a few hours ago." "No, I wasn't. I don't remember. Nothing happened. I didn't see him." And then she said, "No, I tell you, it was like this." And then that gopi starts narrating all the aspects of the rasa lila that Radharani had that night before with Krishna. And she said, "Oh, really? He did like this? And then I did like that? Well, that sounds so wonderful. And it's so, I'm feeling so happy. And it's really transforming me and I'm feeling so ecstatic." This is called Rasodgar. So the gopis would get together and speak about Krishna and remind each other of Krishna's pastime. This is called Rasodgar. So this series of verses where they're sharing with each other, it's called Yugal Gita. But it has also many other meanings why it's called Yugal Gita. But everywhere you'll see, there's two verses. There's two by two by two by two. It's not just one verse. It's four and five and six and seven and eight and nine, like that. So I'll read this one verse. Sri Gopi Uchu. Vama Bahu Krita Vama Kapalo Vagita Brur Adarpita Veinam Komalanguli Bir Ashrita Margam Ungopiera Yati Yati Mukunda Vyomayana Vanita Sahasidher Vismitas Tadupandharya Salajaha Kamamargana Samarpita Chita Kashmalamam Yuyur Aspasmita Nivya Nivya, Nivi, Nivi. This is a very, I like this word very much, Nivi. Nivi means the knot in their underwear. Nivi Bandha. Bandha means knot. Because Krishna is like a great Houdini. He's like a great magician. Abracadabra, alakazam. Abracadabra, alakazam. It's like you have jadu. You have jadu. Jaduwala, magician. It's called jadu.
Jadugar.
So Krishna, he plays his flute. Now listen to this verse. This is the translation. O Sakhi, Nanda Nandan, who gives joy to the distressed, he bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now please hear something very wonderful. When Krishna vibrates his flute, the bulls, deers, and cows of Braj, they stand in groups at a great distance. They're captivated by the sound. They stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Their ears become fixed. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. So the gopis are remembering that beautiful flute of Muralidhar. Muralidhar plays his flute and they're talking about how the cows and bulls are stunned. They stop chewing, they give up eating. And eating is very important. Can you imagine giving up eating for anything? Even people say, wait, let me finish eating. We don't usually say, let me stop and do your thing. Or if the phone is ringing, we say, forget it, I'll finish my meal. At least I say that. The phone rings, I say, later, Jack, I'm doing my prasad seva. It's a very important seva, more important than the telephone. So the gopis are reminding each other, but there's the external internal meaning, because externally they're saying, yes, the cows and the bulls, the braja gai, the braja go means cows, they stop what they're doing, they stop eating, they stop chewing, they cock their ears. So that what they're actually saying is that when Krishna, they're saying this thing externally. You know why they're saying that? Why are they speaking like this? Because they may be in Nandagaon. But sometimes they go to Nandagaon because they want to engage Yashoda also in this Rasodgar. But Yashoda only has access to this Vatsalya Bhav, not to the conjugal Bhav, not to this Madhurya Bhav. But this verse, when the gopis are saying, oh, the cows, the senses of the cows, they stop eating, because go means senses. So when we hear Krishna's flute, we stop eating. We stop serving food to our husbands, and our sense and all our ears also cock. We also cock our ears. Our ears get focused. And we drink that liquid nectar of Muralidhara's flute through our ears. And then we become stunned. They're saying the cows become stunned. And they stop chewing what's never in their mouths and they can't move. But they're actually saying, and the gopis are saying, yeah, right, you know. They're looking at each other and Yashoda's there and they're saying, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the cow, yeah, right, the cows become stunned, right? And the cows stop chewing and stop eating. Because this is the power of Krishna consciousness. This is the power of Krishna's attraction. This is the power of Krishna's flute. And this is the power of Krishna's holy name. That if you contact Krishna, then you can give up your interest in the basic interests of life. Because there's four basic interests that art is called art. Art means interest. What I'm interested in, what I want to do. They're called ahara, nidran, maitun, bayam. These are the four major interests of the human being. Ahara, nidra, maitun, bayam. Eating, ahara. Eating, aha, aha, nahar. Eating, aha, har, har. Eating, har, har, mahadev, ahar. Eating, ahara, nidra. Then after, that's why it goes in a sequence. Ahara, nidra, maitun, bayam. First you eat, then you go to bed, then mitun. Then after mitun, then you fight. Aj vivaha, kavivad, kalvivad. Today you get married, tomorrow you argue. So that's, the sages know exactly what they're talking about, Jack. Everywhere it's written like this, ahara, nidra, maitun, bhayam, right? It's not written ahara, bhayam, fighting. Bhayam means fighting or fearing. Exactly what happens. You eat, you sleep, you sex, you fight. So these are the interests. But the cows, they're eating. That's a big interest. They're doing ahara. They're eating the grass. It's their life and soul. They stop. They hear Krishna's flute, band hogya. Ahara band hogya. Hogya, they're no more eating. And that's the most dear thing to life. People live to eat. I live to eat! This French restaurant, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, every eats, all eats. Easy, easy. Chinese, Vietnamese, everything's ease, at ease, easy. So this is the whole material life. So now you contact Krishna, all material life is finished. Ahara nidra maitun bhayam. Nidra hara vihari kali vijato chadyanta dino chaya. Radha Krishna guna smatir madhurima nandena samhoito. Vande rupa sanatana rugu yugo sri jiva gopalako. Ahara nidra, this says nidra hara vihara kari vijato. Vijato means absolute. Vigata or vishesh, complete, specialized, absolute victory. Vijay, total victory, total conquest over ahara nidra maitun bayam by Krishna consciousness. So this is the power of Krishna's flute. That's the cows. But to speak of the gopis, because the gopis are really talking about themselves. We hear it, we stop eating, we stop serving our husband, we stop all material life, we leave our houses. And then we run out of our houses, and we just run by the force and propulsion of that flute sound. And then when we see Krishna, what happens? We become stunned. They're talking about themselves. That's called Premvivart. They become stunned. And then they mistake a tamal tree to be Krishna and embrace the tamal tree.